This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And now the field turns for home. It's Sightseek on the outside and Azari. Stormflag flying to their inside. And at the top of the stretch, the two best mares in America. Sightseek and Azari. Stormflag flying not far behind. And it is Azari, the heart of a champion, holding on to the lead. Sightseek took a bold run at her, but could not get by Azari. Azari is back in a big way. Azari has won the gold for Wand, turning back Sightseek. Stormflag flying was third. The title time was 1:47.45.
Now here's Bobby Newman and Bob Nastanovich.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman along with Bob Nastanovich, and we've got a dozen races from around North America to talk about tonight, including a huge card at Aqueduct tomorrow, Bob. Four graded stakes, including this year's edition of the Gopher Wand.
Probably their biggest card of the year, aside from Wood Memorial Day, I would think. These are really nice old-school Aqueduct races. Obviously, the intro there, when you played that version of the Gopher Wand, it was a very, very good year for the Gopher Wand. I'm sure, I think it was a grade one back then when Azari won, wasn't it?
It was actually a grade three, believe it
Amazing.
Or not, when Azari won back in 2004. But obviously, a very strong addition nonetheless. Any race that had Azari in it, as she was certainly a top-flight mare somewhere around 20 years ago. Folks, AmWager is giving away money. New customers get a $150 sign-up bonus plus an instant $10 bonus just for HRRN listeners. Go to link.amwager.com/HRRN. You'll get $10 instantly for signing up. Then deposit $150, bet $150, and get a $150 lump sum bonus. It's that easy. AmWager is a wagering platform that's loaded with valuable tools and features, including odds charts, odds predictions, and much more. You'll also get free access to Form to Win, a revolutionary app that analyzes past performance data in minutes. So go to link.amwager.com/HRRN to sign up and get your bonuses. AmWager, built by horse players for horse players. All right, Bob, well, let's dive right into that big Aqueduct card tomorrow. As I mentioned, they have four graded stakes in all, and the first of which is race number seven. It's the grade two $250,000 Demoiselle for the two-year-old fillies going the elongated distance of a mile and an eighth, which is two turns on the main track at Aqueduct. Field of nine set to go to post in the Demoiselle. Number three, Life Talk, tried her hand in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies about a month ago, and she didn't run poorly, finished fourth, beaten only about 3.5 lengths by filly that probably will be the champion two-year-old filly. Just FYI, certainly seems like a little bit of a softer spot tomorrow.
No, it's definitely a softer spot because Just FYI is obviously a champion and ran like one on Breeders' Cup Day. This race, which they've been running since 1908, is not named after a famous filly of a bygone era. It's just the... It's the French word for a young woman, but it's a grand old race, grade two, like you mentioned. Really nice competitive field this year. I'm a bit concerned that Life Talk, who will probably go off favorite, might be over the top. She's had a lot of hard races. Of course, she shipped across the country. Now she's shipped back. I'm kind of surprised that she entered, especially when you consider that Dolomite's in there, very talented horse. Who's shown a lot in her two starts, including her maiden victory last time. We've got the six horse in here, Caress, who's not the multiple graded stakes winner, half to Bernstein from about 20, 30 years ago, the Dam of Sky Mesa. This is the 2021 edition of Caress. They've allowed the owners to name the horse after what was really a fantastic turf horse of the 90s. I landed on Ringy Dingy here. Ringy Dingy is by Dialed In out of a Touch Gold mare. She has a very nice pedigree for 9 furlongs. You might be a bit concerned that Katie Davis, the jockey, who's very good, she's just struggled this meet. This filly, Ringy Dingy, she was really impressive at Delaware last time, trained by Danny Gargan. If you're Katie Davis and you're in a slump, then often a good horse will get you out of a slump, and she just lets this filly roll along. I'm sure the fact she rides this filly makes it easier for her to get up in the mornings. And I think she's got a live shot. I think she'll love the distance. And I think that Ringy Dingy at a nice price can win the Demoiselle.
All right. I'm also going to try to beat the morning line favorite Life Talk with an 8-1 shot ridden by Davis. But this time it's Dylan Davis on number 5, Vino Rouge, for trainer Tony Dutrow. Vino Rouge ran second in the Tempted last time out, going a mile at Aqueduct, was behind Shimmering Allure, finished three lengths behind that rival, who's is once again going to be squaring off against her in the Demoiselle. But Vino Rouge is getting the blinkers on tomorrow, so I'm expecting her to be maybe a little bit more keen out of the gate, maybe forwardly placed. And to me, Bob, I don't see a whole lot of speed in this field. If Vino Rouge is up on the pace or right there in front, and they're not going very fast early on, even whether she's in front or just right up on the pace, I think she's going to be a tough to beat when they get to the top of the lane, even though she was run over by Shimmering Allure last time out at a shorter distance. I think the blinkers on may do the trick, and Vino Rouge at 8-1, I'm going to give her a shot at an upset in the Demoiselle. We both like 8-1 shots as chances in the Demoiselle tomorrow. Eighth race at Aqueduct is the aforementioned Go for Juan fillies and mares going a one-turn mile on the main track. We've got 7 of them going to post in this race, Bob, and the morning line favorite is number 6, Gerrymander, at 2-1.
Yeah, I don't think that there are any Aziris or Storm Flag flyings in here, but there are some lightly raced fillies, and one very good one is the is Good Sam, the 7 horse in here, also trained by the typically hot Chad Brown. Irad Ortiz keeps them out. He's ridden her all 5 of her races. In her second lifetime start as a 2-year-old in early November at Aqueduct, she blew apart the Tempted, which is a listed stakes. I mean, she basically is New York tracks are her happy hunting ground. She's still on the improve. She's lightly raced. She has good tactical speed. A lot of valuable assets this time of year. At Aqueduct. I do think that there's a filly in here that can upset the apple cart. That's the defending champ. There is a chance of rain this weekend in New York, so you have to monitor the track condition. If it does come up and off track, Dr. B won the Gopher One really easily last year on sealed slop. Regardless, I think that she's going to sit a nice trip. For trainer Robert Reed, good veteran trainer. Cassius King LLC owns part of this horse. Of course, they owned the Great of Fleet Alex way back when. Dr. B, she has a lot of class, 5-year-old mare, and I think that they've had this race in mind for a long time, and I think she'll fire a big one.
Okay, so Bob likes both Good Sam and Dr. B in this spot.
I'm going with
Dr.
B.
Dr. B on top. I think it's wide open. I ended up picking Gerrymander on top, who won a match race in her most recent start. I don't even know what to make of that race. But to me, it looks like there's nobody that, if you guaranteed me they were going to run their race, definitely wins. There are about 4 or 5 of the 7 in this race who I think are very evenly matched when they run their best race. So if I were to play this race, it would be more of just trying to get through it in pick 3s, pick 4s, pick 5s, and unfortunately it probably would mean that I would have to hit the all button, which is not something I'm likely to do in this spot. I'm going to pick Gerrymander on top. Believe me when I tell you I will not be betting Gerrymander to win. I just think she's as good as anyone else. By the way, this is completely off topic, Bob, but I got an email from one of our listeners yesterday. We were talking about when's the last time a great rider also was a great trainer. Because we were talking about a horse that Randy Purcell owned and trained, and of course Randy used to be a rider in New York, and we were trying to think of great riders that went on to be great trainers, and we could think of great riders who ended up being okay trainers, and we thought of okay riders who ended up being great trainers, and a caller emailed in Johnny Longden, who of course won the Triple Crown in 1943 as a rider on Count Fleet. He won the Derby and the Preakness as a trainer, Majestic Prince, in 1969. I don't know if there's any since then, but that's certainly a very good example.
Extremely good example. And during the call-in show, one of your callers I heard mentioned Wesley Ward, and I believe it was he an Eclipse Award-winning apprentice. I know he's been far more famous as a trainer.
He might have been, but you know, we have different definitions of what we consider great riders. There have been a lot of Eclipse Award-winning apprentices that didn't go on to be. I mean, let's think of one recently. Jessica Pfeiffer, I think, was the Eclipse Award apprentice rider 2 years ago, and she's not even riding anymore.
Yeah, so I mean, just like all divisions of the Eclipse are good years and weaker years, so just like the stakes races we're handicapping today.
But Johnny Longden, great answer, and I don't think we're going to come up with a better one than that. I'm trying to figure out if there's one more recent than him. Back to the matters at hand and the big card at Aqueduct tomorrow. Ninth race on the card is the $250,000 Grade 2 Remsen for the two-year-olds going a mile and an eighth on the main track. We've got a field of 10 gathering for the Remsen. Morning line favorite is the full brother to this year's Derby winner, Mage. His name is Dornick, and he's coming off an impressive maiden win at Keeneland.
Yeah, and one horse that you need to watch in here, especially if you're playing underneath, certainly has a chance to win because I think he'll relish the 9-furlong distance, and that's Drumroll Please. When he won his maiden on October 6th over this surface, going the one-turn mile, he just keeps on grinding away, and I think he'll be there at the finish. I think that Dornock is the horse to beat here for sure, and it's going to be my selection. Ran well, finished willingly in the slop at Saratoga on in his first lifetime start July 29th. Ran a good race in the sapling, immediately got moved up to the 1 mile sapling at Monmouth. New surface, ran a good race behind Noted after having a wide and somewhat troubled trip. Beat Frankie's Empire by 9 lengths that day, who came back and won. And then at Keeneland the other day, rather significantly, he was very green coming down the stretch, and to me that suggested that there's more improvement to come from him, that he's still figuring things out, and I think he takes a big step forward in the Remsen and puts himself right in the mix of horses that will be talked about in the off-season for Derby preparation. Big day for Danny Gargan. I think he sweeps both two-year-old races at Aqueduct.
Okay, I thought this was another wide-open event, and even though I think Dornick certainly can win this race, I think there are others in here that are just as good, if not better than him, including both of the Chad Brown runners, number 2 Domestic Product and the 7 Sierra Leone. I can't figure out whether Manny Franco, who rode both of these Chad Brown runners to victory in their most recent starts, had a choice and chose number 2 Domestic Product, or was he simply told, you'll be riding this one because Jose Ortiz is riding the other one. In general, I think that the Ortiz brothers have a little bit more favor when it comes to the Chad Brown barn. But it's certainly hard to ignore the fact that Manny Franco's been riding a lot for Chad Brown, especially in the last 2 months, and winning a whole lot of races. And, you know, he could have had his choice. Either way, I think they're even, and so the price is much better on the 2 Domestic Product. I'm going that direction. He's 10-1 on the morning line. Debuted during the summer meetup at Saratoga. Got some action at the windows, didn't get out of the gate very well, and just kind of ran evenly around the racetrack, stretching out around 2 turns last time out at Aqueduct. He won at this mile and an eighth distance with the addition of blinkers, and he won very impressively. I think a repeat of that race, or even slight improvement in just the third start of his career, makes him as good, if not better, than anyone else in this race, and I know he's proven at the distance. So 10-1 is good enough for me. I'm going to take Domestic Product to score the upset in tomorrow's Grade 2 Remsen at Aqueduct. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we've got another Aqueduct race to talk about. It's a big one, the Cigar Mile. Then we'll head down to Florida, opening weekend of their championship meet at Gulfstream Park. This is the Amwager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
There are plenty of thrills at Gulfstream Park with live thoroughbred action Friday through Sunday and simulcasting 7 days a week. Join us on track for weekend stakes races and make plans for opening day of the championship meet on Friday, December 1st. Dine trackside in 10 Ponds with an elevated view of the track and grab a cool cocktail in the Carousel Club. For reservations, tickets, and more, head to GulfstreamPark.com.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Biddy Jane. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 162 or XM 207, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
A quarter of a mile between Cigar and a perfect season. Coming down to the last furlong with a 2.5-length lead. And Jerry Bailey calls on Cigar for everything he has. The Carrier is awakening second. On the inside, on a product floor. On the outside, Soul of the Manor. And here he is. The incomparable, invincible, unbeatable Cigar. He has won it. And look at this time over this racetrack. 159 and 2. He beat the best the world could offer. And even Mother Nature, too. There he is, Cigar.
The unmistakable voice, of Tom Durkin. He had so many great calls during his announcing career, and certainly one of the most memorable was the 1995 edition of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, in which Cigar rolled home to victory, and Cigar has a race named in his honor tomorrow out at Aqueduct. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich. Before we get back to the stakes action, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, here's some good news. According to the Arizona HBPA, Turf Paradise to reopen January 29th. According to a social media post by the Arizona Horsemen's Benevolent Protective Association, racing will resume at Turf Paradise January 29th for a meet that will continue until May 4th based on approval by the Arizona Racing Commission. In a post on Facebook and tweeted on X by Turf Paradise, the Arizona HBPA added, quote, horsemen can arrive in their stalls December 18th with the track opening for training on the 26th, unquote. The post was signed by Lloyd Yether, the organization's president, and Leroy Gessman, a consultant. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Looking for racing information? BloodHorse.com has it. From racing-related news to race results and replays to racing leaders, including horses, trainers, jockeys, owners, and breeders, and much more, it's BloodHorse.com, your source for racing information. Bob, certainly great news there. Whether you're a day-in, day-out fan of the racing at Turf Paradise or you're a horseman, we know a lot of people who would have been negatively affected by racing coming to an end at Turf Paradise, and at least for now, it looks like it will continue.
Yeah, nice to hear. I've never been there myself. You've been there, I imagine, right?
I have been there, and it actually hasn't changed like the last 40 years. It's just kind of an old school track. If you've never been to Turf Paradise, just rent the movie The Grifters, and one of the opening scenes where Angelica Houston is laying off money for the bookmaker or the mob or whoever it is at a track, she's at Turf Paradise.
Good to know. I know I've heard of a lot of praise for Arizona Downs out in Prescott. I got a buddy who lives out in Prescott that is really high on that racetrack. So Arizona racing is alive and well.
Yeah, and beginning the end of January. Better late than never. Back with the stakes action at hand, the featured event, if you will, tomorrow at Aqueduct is the Grade Two $500,000 Cigar Mile for three-year-olds and up, going a one-turn mile on the main track, a race that when it inaugurated in the early-mid-'80s was known as the Naira Mile. Then Cigar won it during his racing career, and for the last 30 years or so, it has been known as the Cigar Mile. Really strong field of 12 gathering for this year's Cigar Mile, Bob, and a tough race to handicap. Morning line favorite is number 3, Senor Buscador, who we just saw a month ago try the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah, I don't want to dwell on the Remsen, but I just wanted to quickly discuss your point about the brown train pair in there. One of them is Sierra Leone, of course, is a $2.3 million son of Gunrunner, who may very well be owned by the most powerful ownership group in the world with Mrs. John Magnier, Michael Tabor, Derek Smith, Peter Brandt's involved. I imagine that owner selection might have had something to do with the jockey choice there, so I'm just throwing that out there. In the Cigar Mile, this is a division that suddenly has been cast wide open by the retirement of Cody's Wish and, of course, the sad demise of Practical Move. Two outstanding dirt milers. Very intriguing renewal. Proper grading here. I think it's definitely a Grade 2 race. Clearly not a Grade 2. First things first, I tossed the horses that ran in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, Hoist the Gold and 3 Technique. I just can't see them stretching out in this one-turn mile and performing well. Senior Buscador, who's a fun horse. He's a deep closer. There's a chance of a very hot pace, and he could be flying. There's a long shot in here that I really, really like, in that throughout the course of this week and the last few weeks at Aqueduct in general, being on or near the front end has been a very valuable asset. And Awfully Cool, who ran a very good race last time at Parks, including beating King Kumbalai, who we saw win last week at Laurel. Lowbrow connections, 21 in the morning line. He could easily outbreak this field, cross over, and get in front. There's two other speeds. One of them looks like it's a horse that might be in as a pace setter, and that's, I'm not sure how to say it, C-A-S-C-I-S, Cascade. And Ever So Mischievous, who, of course, will be a short price in here. I think there's a chance that under Abner Adorno for trainer Jacinto Solis, a horse that was claimed in February at Turfway Park for $30,000, was entered in the Artie Schiller the other day, scratched out of that race with this being the preferred task. If he somehow doesn't get respected, makes the lead, and settles down on the inside and sets a reasonable pace, he might be tough to reel in at a big price. My selection is number 8, Awfully Cool.
All right, big price for Bob, Awfully Cool in the Cigar Mile. I went to the 2 Ever So Mischievous, just hoping that maybe he could sit the Garden Trip just in behind the speed and attack at the top of the stretch. I think there's plenty of pace in this race. He's really never run a bad race in his 6-race career. This is certainly the toughest competition that he has faced, but I think he's ready for it, and any one of his last 2 or 3 starts are probably good enough to put him right there. Let's just hope, as far as I'm concerned, that he doesn't get mixed up in what looks like it could be a more than honest pace on the front end early on. Let's head down south. Opening weekend of the championship at Gulfstream Park is upon us, and the co-features on Saturday are the finals of the Florida Sire Series, the In Reality and My Dear Girl Stakes, one for the boys, one for the girls. Race number 5 is the In Reality. These are 2-year-old colts and geldings that are Florida Sires Stake registered, going a mile and a 16th on the main track. Field of 7, Bob, and probably will have our shortest price of the weekend with number 2, Bentornado, who is undefeated and trying to sweep the Stallion Series, or rather the Sire Series, in 2023.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot of money to be made with a Florida-bred 2-year-old Bentornado, just like our Harper Rose, who we'll talk about, runs in the My Dear Girl, which goes the 10th on this card. Prove that point. He can basically push his bankroll, pretty close to $500,000 and run his record to 5 for 5. And he really hasn't had to extend himself since sort of dawdling in the slop in his first lifetime start. Look, the big challenge for him will be the added ground. He's by Valiant Minister, a very talented son of Candy Ride that Bob Baffert trained, who stands for a value price of $5,000 out there in Florida. The Put It Back mare might concern you a little bit, but there's plenty of stamina in the bottom half of her special ways pedigree. I think he'll have no problem with his talent and speed, and you know, will win with authority. I can't go against the 2, Ben Tornado. If I had to choose a horse to finish second, I'd go with the Gervin Colt, Seminole Chief, who could improve with the addition of blinkers for Jack Sisterson. So if I had to play this race, I'd go with a straight 2-6 exacta.
All right, so maybe trying to beat the 5, Mattingly, who I actually think is the only one with a chance to beat Ben Tornado, but I'm not going to try to beat Ben Tornado. It's a little bit of a shame. This Florida Sire Series used to be known as the Florida Stallion Stakes when it was run over at Calder, and it had a little bit different timing in the calendar, Bob, where they would run the 3 races that would be in the series for either the boys or the girls and be done basically 3 weeks or so before the Breeders' Cup. So if that was the timing, you'd have a horse like Ben Tornado, who seemingly, if he would win the In Reality division at the mile and a 16th distance, now he's proven around 2 turns, and they can possibly look to bigger and better things running against Grade 1 competition in the Breeders' Cup or the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. But they've kind of changed with the move over to Gulfstream. They've kind of changed it in the calendar to where now these horses really don't have a chance to do both. You have to do either one or the other. Unfortunately, it takes away from a chance to see some really, really good horses compete earlier against some worldwide competition. I mean, this is a race that Smile won back in 1984. Holy Bull won the race in 1993. Brave Raj won the My Dear Girl before going on and, I believe, winning the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies in 1986, something like that. But unfortunately, we don't get to see that now. We do get to see Ben Tornado try to remain undefeated. I'm not going to try to beat him either and take him in the In Reality division of the Sire Stakes. Race 10 is the aforementioned My Dear Girl division of the Florida Sire Series, and this time it's the 2-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th on the main track. We're going to have another big favorite here, Bob, in number 5, R. Harper Rose, by Kozan out of a Yes It's True mare and trying 2 turns for the first time.
I'm surprised she's 4-5 in the morning line. I think she'll be about the same price that Ben Tornado will be. She's been dominant in her 3 starts, going 5.5 in the mud, 5.5 on a fast track, and then winning her stakes debut handily. I guess the big question with her today would be the distance. Mile and a 16th might be a big ask. She's very sprint-oriented on the dam side, trained by Safi Joseph. Amazing tandem he's got going with jockey Edgard Zayas. They've won an incredible amount of races. I think they're 18 for their last 52, and they just keep on rolling along. I'm going to take a shot here just because she's going to be such a short price and the price on the others will be a bit inflated. I'm going to stick with my buddy Honey Dijon, who I've been following on the circuit. She ran a good race last time. She kind of had an excuse early, gave up too much ground. I think, you know, she's out of an Empire Maker mare. She ought to relish the added ground her first time around 2 turns. She gets a Paco Lopez for the first time from the inside. Training well at Churchill and ships back down to Florida with good intentions. I think she can pull an upset here. I'll take the 1, Honey Dijon.
Yeah, I'm going to take the same filly for the same reason you said. I think she may be a little bit better suited to 2 turns than the favorite just off the breeding, being by Gervin out of an Empire Maker mare. I like the inside post in the run to the short run to the first turn, and she's going to have to make up some ground on R. Harper Rose. She was soundly defeated at 7 furlongs, but 2 turns, a little bit longer distance, maybe it's a little bit of a different story in the My Dear Girl, Honey Dijon, for both Bob and myself in the My Dear Girl tomorrow. All right, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to head out west. 3 big stakes on the Saturday card at Del Mar. This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Get ready for nonstop excitement at Laurel Park. Immerse yourself in heart-pounding live racing, indulge in mouth-watering culinary delights, and soak in the thrill of our electrifying events. Whether you're a die-hard racing fan or just out for a day of fun with loved ones, Laurel Park promises an unforgettable experience, no matter the season. Don't let the excitement pass you by. Head to laurelpark.com now for all the thrilling details. That's laurelpark.com.
All over America, people are taking the national radon test. Have you? Excuse me, have you heard of radon?
Is that a gas?
Is it something that comes up out the ground or something?
Well, it's like poison gas.
Something dangerous that you're supposed to check on to make sure it's not in your home.
Now it's your turn. Answer true or false. Radon is a radioactive gas. True, radon is a radioactive gas. True or false? The Office of the Surgeon General recommends that all homes be tested for radon. True, your home should be tested.
I didn't know that, no.
True or false, radon is the second leading cause of lung cancer. True.
True, I didn't know that.
Radon is the second leading cause of lung cancer. Answer true or false. Homes with radon problems can be fixed. True. Homes with radon problems can be fixed.
So what do you do about it?
I'm going to dial the number and call.
1-800-SOS-RADON.
If I don't take care of it, nobody else will.
Keep your family safe from radon. Call now.
1-800-SOS-RADON.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net. You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
And when they get to the quarter pole, Rock Opera will be the leader. And Esperado is now fifth. Royal Gem needs a way through. Then Century City bottled up six from the front. Johar from the back of the pack. Rock Opera the one to catch. He comes to the final furlong leading by a length. Manan and McClear is second. Johar from the back of the pack. And here comes Johar with giant strides. Johar has run from the back of the pack to take over the lead. Royal Gem, Johar from last to first to win. Johar wins the Hollywood Derby by two lengths.
That was Vic Stauffer on the call back in 2002, the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby. Back then, of course, run at Hollywood Park. Won by Johar. He would go on and win the Breeders' Cup Turf later on that year. And this year's Hollywood Derby, which is now run at Del Mar, takes place tomorrow where the turf meets the surf. By the way, I should mention when Johar won the Breeders' Cup Turf in 2002, he actually dead heated for the win with High Chaparral that year. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich. Let's head out to Del Mar now, Bob. In race three on the Saturday card, named after a pretty good turf sprinter named Stormy Liberal. This three-year-old's and up, going five furlongs on the lawn. Field of eight gathering in this race. Number two, Lane Way, coming off a nice win in the Grade 2 Eddie D in his most recent start. He's 9-5 on the morning line.
Yeah, sort of the usual suspects out there in the Del Mar five furlong sprint races, which I don't think it's either of our forte as handicappers. These seem to take turns winning. I'm sort of surprised that the dominant turf trainer at the moment out there, Phil D'Amato, only has two in here. It seems like he's had half the field in a lot of these turf stakes out there recently. You got to respect Unconquerable Keen. From the rail, Flavian Prott for D'Amato. There's a pretty good chance that he'll be sent from the inside. There doesn't seem like there's a definite pace setter in here. That might give him a tactical advantage. I think he's got a shot. Lane Way, who's the morning line favorite. And one thing you pointed out to me over the last few years is these horses owned by my racehorse, where there are thousands of owners, tend to be overbet. You can expect that, especially with Hall of Fame trainer Dick Mandela and jockey Mike Smith attached to the horse. I think that he prefers Santa Anita. He's more of a 6.5 furlong down the hill type at Santa Anita. He's run okay on this turf course. I wouldn't throw him out, but I wouldn't take him at a short price. I've got to take the defending champ, Turn on the Jets. He was awesome here last year, winning this exact same race by 2 1/4 under today's jockey, Juan Hernandez, who gets back on after being apart from him for his last three races. He got beat a length, got bumped repeatedly last time in the race won by Unconquerable King Keen at Santa Anita on October 20th. I think this is a perfect setup from him for him today. He'll stalk and pounce, and it'd be pretty straightforward. And if he's anywhere close to 5-2, that's pretty good value.
Yeah, and I think you'll get 5-2 because of what you mentioned. I think Laneway is going to be played lower than perhaps he should. I think Laneway is the best horse in the race. I think he's the one to beat in the race. I'm going to pick him on top, but I don't bet these my racehorse owned horses just for what you said, Bob. They all seem to be a lower price than they should be. Whether or not I think he's going to win or not, and I do, you know, he's 9-5 on the morning line, and if I think he probably should be about 3-2 in the race, it means he's going to be even money in the race by the time all the money's bet. So maybe if you're looking at playing Laneway, you got to look at exotics, either playing pick threes, pick fours into him, or maybe using him on top of other horses in exotics, because I think he's going to be overbet in the win pool. He's going to have to pass turn on the Jets at some point, but I think if he's close enough to that one at the top of the stretch, he will go by. I'll take Laneway to get back-to-back wins and his third win in his last four starts by capturing the Stormy Liberal tomorrow out at Del Mar. Fifth race on the Del Mar card is the Grade 3 Jimmy Durante for the two-year-old fillies going 1 mile on the turf. Big field of 11 coming together in this race, Bob. You've got horses who are based in Southern California, some shippers from the East Coast, including the morning line favorite number 8 Lady DeBerry for Chad Brown, and even some two-year-old fillies who are shipping over from Europe and trying American sod for the first time.
Yeah, pretty interesting race. The one horse in here, Miss Brightside, who's had the one start in Ireland at Ferry House, won the race by 2 3/4. I rewatched that race today. She was impressive. She was very, very green in the race. She's since been switched from trainer Gavin Cromwell to Phil D'Amato again. Giovanni Franco picks up the mount on Miss Brightside. She's 12-1 in the morning line. Cromwell is known for selling lightly raced horses who've showed something on the race course. So essentially, when she ran at Ferry House, like a lot of his horses, whether they're two or three or jumpers or whatever, they tend to show up in places where hopefully they'll impress and then be sold. He sells a lot of horses to American interests. I don't think that she beat much when she beat Byzantine Empress and Can Do that day. Decent filly, but I think it's kind of a big step up, especially in her first race out in California. The French filly, Antifona, who was bought by Haranis Racing, John Sadler, of course, trains. She's a difficult read as well. She's run a lot. She's got two wins in her seven starts, but she's only faced group company one time, and that was at Chantilly, and she was well beaten behind the very good French filly, Remachuel. They'll both be good prices. If you're interested in them, take a shot. I think there's a filly that stands out in here. She'll be my selection, the 8-horse Lady DeBerry, a practical joke filly out of a Thunder Gulch mare. She had the misfortune on August 26th at Saratoga of running into Just FYI in her first start on dirt, not her ball game, sprinting on the dirt. Showed her real stuff at Keeneland October 27th. Tall filly, really impressive turn of foot that day, and one like a filly that will go on to bigger and better things routing on the turf. So my selection is the Flavian Pratt-ridden, Chad Brown-trained Lady DeBerry.
Yeah, I picked her as well. I generally think that the turf runners on the East Coast, both in New York and in Kentucky, in general over the last few years have been much stronger than the ones based in Southern California. So I think that win at Keeneland is probably even better than it looks, and I like Lady DeBerry as well to get the job done in the Jimmy Durante. Featured race at Del Mar tomorrow is the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby for the three-year-olds going 1 1/8 on the turf. We've got a field of 9 in this race. Program Trading is 9-5 off the second-place finish to Integration.
Yeah, I mean, I think Program Trading will certainly be the favorite. Really can't fault his loss to the undefeated Integration in the Virginia Derby. Program Trading is a Grade 1 winner. His stablemate, one to his inside, might be his stiffest comp. That's the 7 redistricting. Also a very unexposed horse who ran a very good race last time at Aqueduct and definitely seems to be moving in the right direction in his fourth lifetime start. Note on the inside horse, Silver Knot, the Godolphin horse, who remained in California after the Breeders' Cup, trained by Charlie Appleby. Jamie Spencer flies over for the mount. He's been a big source of disappointment this year. He's 0 for 5. He tends to get there and doesn't really finish off his races. We'll see if he can improve today. I personally don't see it. I'm going to take a shot at a horse who's 5 to 1 in the morning line. That's the 9-horse SEAL team. He impressed me on the Breeders' Cup undercard. Had a troubled trip in the stretch under Umberto Rispoli. Still got the job done. He's by Warfront out of a Medaglia d'Oro mare. I think the mile distance suits him just fine. And I think if Rispoli can work out a trip, he'll make a nice upset run at a decent price. I'll take the 9 SEAL team.
Going for his third win in a row, 5-1 on the morning line. I thought it was between the first two that you mentioned, both of the Chad Brown runners, 8 program trading and 7 redistricting. With my simple theory once again that I just think the racing out east on the turf is superior to the racing out west right now on the turf. And program trading and redistricting have been running very well against what I think is in general tougher competition. You mentioned it, Integration, just a monster. He may be the best, on the verge of being the best turf horse that we have here in America right now, 3 for 3, and on his way to trying the Pegasus Turf Cup back in January at Gulfstream Park. Program trading was actually 3-5 against Integration that day and ended up second best, and now it doesn't look so bad. Program trading, I think, is the one to beat. I think he'll be lower than 9-5. I don't know if I want to bet him to win at that price, but no Integrations in this race, and I think program trading has a real live chance to get back to his winning ways and get his fourth lifetime win. I'm going to take the favorite, program trading, Bob, going with number 9 SEAL team in an interesting renewal of the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby. All right, we are going to take our final break. When we come back, we've got 3 races on the Sunday docket to talk about, including 2 on the closing day action at Del Mar and a nice Grade 3 event up at Woodbine. This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The thrill of world-class racing now at Toronto's Woodbine Racetrack. Kick off the weekend's action now with racing each Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, beginning at 1:05 p.m. Eastern. With more than $64 million in purses this season, you'll enjoy world-class racing and training facilities with the top turf racing in North America over the prestigious E.P. Taylor Turf Course. You won't want to miss racing at Woodbine. For wagering updates, handicapping tips, racing news, and more, visit woodbine.com.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst and cancer champion Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. Join our team to help fund game-changing research that saves lives. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over the odds. V is for victory over health disparities, victory over setbacks, victory over the unknown. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Donate to the V Foundation to join our team and help save lives.
Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul.
100% of donations fund game-changing cancer research. Donate now to the V Foundation at V.org.
Hey, this is Bobby Newman. Join me every Friday afternoon to dive deep into handicapping the races. We'll cover the live action from some of the biggest tracks in the country, talk to some of the major players in the game, and hopefully make a little money along the way. You can also call the show to share your opinions, ask a question or two, or maybe just vent about some bad beats. It's Betting with Bobby every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 162, XM 207, online channel 999, or streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
They come to the top of the lane. Fahan Mura going to be taken on by Mission Impassable. Whole wall of horses coming, though. Vasilika is in there. Now Uni is starting to unwind on the extreme outside. Vasilika on the inside. Kadara is right there. Daddy is a legend. Uni coming like a rocket on the outside. Uni out of the clouds. And Uni, a captivating victory today under Joel Rosario. They get up to win it. Daddy is a legend. Finish second.
That was Trevor Demon on the call back in 2018. The Grade 1 Matriarch won by the Chad Brown trainee Uni. Chad Brown will have chances once again to capture this year's edition of the Matriarch. It takes place on closing day Sunday out at Del Mar. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich with you. Before we get to the action, folks, AmWager is giving away money. New customers get a $150 sign-up bonus plus an instant $10 bonus for HRRN listeners. Go to link.amwager.com/HRRN. You'll get $10 instantly for signing up. Then when you deposit $150 and bet $150, you'll get a $150 lump sum bonus. It's just that easy. Once again, go to link.amwager.com/HRRN to sign up and get your bonuses. AmWager, built by horse players for horse players. All right, Bob, three Sunday stakes to look at, including a nice one up at Woodbine. The seventh race on the Sunday card is the Grade 3 Valedictory for three-year-olds and up, going the elongated distance of a mile and a half on the synthetic main track. A full field of 14 going to post, Bob. And this is actually one of the more intriguing races of the weekend. And I say that because, at least to me, in this 14-horse field, there are probably 9 or 10 of them that have a chance to win.
Unquestionably, just like the Cigar Mile, it's a real handicapping contest race, like the Demoiselle. It's a very, very challenging weekend. This is the last graded stakes of the year in Canada. One very interesting entrant in here is the 4-horse So High, who comes up from New York for owner-trainer Naipaul Chatterpaul. Interesting horse. Hasn't been in the top two all year in 11 starts, but has still won over 100,000. Doesn't miss too many dances on the grass. He's by Nathaniel out of an Alphabet Soup mare. Nathaniel, of course, is the sire of Enable, amongst others. Just the other day, I was watching a replay of the 7th anniversary of Enable's career debut, which was on the synth at Newcastle. So Nathaniel's definitely handled the synth. This is first time synth for this 7-year-old. Horse has a lot of speed. Picks up talented rider Kazushi Kimura here. It'll be interesting to see if he can command the fractions on the front end and take these a long way. The 2-horse conglomerate for stalwart forces on the circuit, owner Gary Barber and Mark Cassie. Jockey Savach, who's had a wonderful year up there. This horse is very reliable. I expect him to get a piece at a handsome price. Definitely would go against my colleague Dave Friedman here. He does not like to bet fillies against the boys. I can't go against Millie Girl here, the 11 horse. She's just on a roll. She ought to enjoy the mile and a half. She's by Hard Spun out of a Smart Strike mare. Amazing tandem, Rafael Hernandez, the jock, and Catherine Day Phillips, the trainer. They were winning at a 5 out of 9 clip in the last 60 days. This filly has a lot to do with that, and she's just in flying form. I think she'll relish the distance, and if she can get any kind of trip from the 11 hole, very consistent filly, be very tough to beat.
All right, so Millie Girl, Bob selection in the tough Valedictory. I went a little bit off the rails in the 14 horse number, and that's English Conqueror. He ran in the Valedictory last year and ran third at odds of almost 30-1. Almost won the race, was only beaten a neck when finishing third. So I know that he can handle the distance. I know that he likes the synthetic track there at Woodbine, even though he hasn't run on the synthetic all that often of late. He's going to have to overcome the outside post. But the other thing I like is you had mentioned that it's very possible for number 4 So High to get out in front of this field and be very dangerous on the front end. I don't see a lot of speed other than him in the race, and I'm kind of thinking English Conqueror can be laying second or third in the early going and be up close to what should be at fastest a modest early pace. And if that's the way it is, he could have plenty left down the lane. I'm going to try English Conqueror to get back to those big ways of what he showed last year in the Valedictory, maybe punch through and win it this year at odds of 12-1 on the morning line. Closing day events on Sunday out at Del Mar, two graded stakes on the docket, including race number 5, the grade 3 Cecil B. DeMille for the two-year-olds, going a mile on the turf, 9 of them going to post in this race, Bob. And the morning line favorite is number 4, Lord Bullington, coming off a nice win, going a mile on the turf at Santa Anita.
Yeah, I mean, everything looks like it shapes up perfectly for Lord Bullington in the spot. Very talented gray son of Lord Nelson out of a Leroy D'Animo mare. He was outstanding last time at Santa Anita on the Friday Breeders' Cup. Stumbled at the start and flew home under Rispoli, who retains the mount for trainer Michael McCarthy. They win at a 6 out of 18 clip. It just isn't the toughest renewal. Looks like setting up Lord Bullington's move will be Miracle Mark and Invincible. They both want to be near the front end. Invincible is going to be the shorter price of the two. Rosario picks up the mount for Doug O'Neill. Goes around two turns for the second time in his career in his fifth start. He's by Uncle Mo out of a forestry mare. I just think everything sets up perfect for Lord Bullingdon in what is a not a tough renewal. And if you take the form on September 10th, when Lord Bullington was second to Endlessly, he was sort of the best California two-year-old on the grass, a very talented son of Oscar Performance this year, I think that's good enough to make him a short price. And, of course, in addition to that, Lord Bullington faced Prince of Monaco first time out at Los Al. So, talented horse. Looks like everything shapes up perfectly for him to run a big one today at a short price.
Yeah, it certainly wouldn't surprise me if he won, and that's a solid pick by you. One of your comments in here was that you don't think it's the strongest renewal of the Cecil B. DeMille, and I'm going with that theory. The ones who have run on the turf, to me, look average at best. I don't see any world beaters yet, none that I say this is a horse to definitely look out for as a three-year-old and beyond. So I'm going to go with the one Rothschild for Tim Yakteen and Ramon Vasquez. He's run 4 times on the dirt in Southern California and run against some pretty good horses like Muth and Prince of Monaco and Wind Me Up, a lot of Bob Baffert trainees. He's by Uncle Mo out of a Union Rags mare, so at least on the top side, Uncle Mo's, I don't think I have any problem handling the turf. Union Rags, I don't think, are really better bred for turf than dirt. But the Uncle Mo in the breeding is what lured me to Rothschild. I like the inside post with the two-turn mile. And to me, if he improves slightly on turf from what he's shown on dirt, I think he has a big chance in this spot at a very big price. He's 12-1 on the morning line. A featured race on Sunday out at Del Mar is the Grade 1 Matriarch for the fillies and mares going a mile on the turf. Really strong field of 12 getting together in this race. Bob, how'd you see it?
It's not a vintage renewal, but I think it's a very competitive race. Like you said, it's always delightful to see a full field in a race like this. This is a very famous race, the Grade 1 Matriarch. So many brilliant winners over the years. It's hard to not anticipate a very rapid-fire pace, and I expect a sub-46 second opening half mile with the likes of Hamwood Flyer. It was almost a runaway sort of horse, and in here he's got to face another speedball, or she's got to face another speedball in Ruby Nell, who's also very quick early. There's a bunch of stalkers in here. I had no choice but to go with a horse that really impressed me when I was at Keeneland on October 27th. Overcame trouble in the race. Chad Brown seems to have a lot of lately raced horses moving in the right direction at this point in the season, which is sort of a credit to his operation. I guess they separate the ones that go in the spring and summer, and then there's a lot of horses like this with 3, 4, 5 starts at the end of their three-year-old years, and in some cases even four-year-olds who've had under 10 starts. And Surge Capacity has a really sparkling turn of foot. I mean, she flew home to win the Grade 3 Valley View under Rosario, who goes out there to ride her again. Very talented daughter of former turf champion Flintshire, out of a Warriors Reward mare, which is kind of an ideal one-mile pedigree. She's never run a bad one. Finished second, beaten two lengths in the Lake Placid, which was her only loss on August 19th. Didn't run badly that day. And the fact that they're shipping her out to California says to me that they think that she's in great form right now, still moving forward, trained well since the Keeneland win. And I think the fact that her ratings are a little low compared to some of the other horses in here means that she'll be a square price. And I love the three surge capacity in here.
All right, three surge capacity for Bob and the Grade 1 Matriarch. I'm going to hold off on my selection because, as it turns out, it's going to be my best bet. So let's get to it. It's time now for the Amwager Best Bets.
The Amwager Best Bet.
Best Bet. All right, Bob, where are you headed?
I mean, I could have held out as well because, you know, when you see a horse perform and you immediately make a mental note, sometimes even write it down, like, I got to remember the surge capacity. I mean, I was at Keeneland for a couple of days at the end of October. It's a long drive from here, but always a pleasure to go. And by far the most talented horse I saw amongst a slew of talented horses was surge capacity. I was thrilled to see that they made the trip out here. I think she's basically a Grade 1 horse in the making, and I think she's got a big chance to prove herself today from the three-hole in the famous Matriarch Stakes.
All right, so we're both using the Matriarch as our Amwager best bets. Bob going with number three, surge capacity. I'm going to go with another Chad Brown trainee in the five, White Beam. When she was able to run down a lone speed in Italian in the Grade 1 Diana at Saratoga, I thought that was fantastic two starts ago. Little disappointing last time out in the Grade 1 First Lady at Keeneland, but she's another one who really has never run a bad race thus far in her career, and I think the fast early pace will benefit White Beam. I think she's every bit as strong down the lane as surge capacity and anyone else in this field with the right pace scenario in front of her, and I think she has proven that she is capable of beating fields as good, if not better than this, already in her career. White Beam for me as my Amwager best bet in Sunday's Grade 1 Matriarch. Want to remind everybody, tomorrow morning, another fantastic edition of the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Our good friend Mike Penna, the Baron of the Backstretch, talks with Naira and Fox Sports analyst Maggie Morley as they look ahead to Saturday's graded stakes card at Aqueduct. Trainer Danny Gargan previews his talented juveniles competing in the Demoiselle and the Remsen. Owner Ken Ramsey, trainer Shane Wilson discuss their contenders on Saturday's Claiming Crown program over at Fairgrounds. Plus, Vance Hansen provides this week's triple play. Kurt Becker takes you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. Dale Romans, Tim Wilkin tackle the sport's hottest topics on I Ask, They Answer, presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program, all part of another huge edition of the Equine Forum tomorrow morning, every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Sirius 162, XM 207, online channel 999, and streaming live on our website, horseracingradio.net. Bob, we're in that strange type of year where the real big days have gone by, but they really haven't gone by because opening weekend of the championship meet at Gulfstream Park is upon us. We just recently had the openings at Fairgrounds and Tampa Bay Downs and Turfway Park. Santa Anita's gigantic opening day card the day after Christmas is less than 4 weeks away. And, of course, Oaklawn Park starting next weekend. The action never stops, my friend.
I tell you, of course, frustrated to see Del Mar and Aqueduct go. But boy, did they serve up some outstanding stakes races for us to enjoy on Saturday and Sunday. And definitely want to make a side bet with you on the Chad Brown selections and the Matriarch. And listen closely to Danny Cargan. I think he's got 2 2-year-olds that might sweep the Demoiselle and the Remsen at Aqueduct.
All right. Well, I do want to correct one thing. Aqueduct's not going anywhere. They've just they're
oh, okay,
they're,
yeah.
Just their final big final big card for a while.
They're good. Their good horses are mainly going to Florida.
Well, certain, you know, they have great, you know, it's an interesting dilemma there with New York because the purses in New York are significantly higher than the purses in Florida right now. but you get a lot better weather in South Florida for the most part in the wintertime. You get turf racing. At least it seems like we'll get turf racing for the most part in South Florida in the wintertime. And let's face it, there are a lot of big-name trainers who will use the good weather in Florida to basically train their horses up to eventually come back and run in those big meets at Keeneland and Churchill and Belmont and Saratoga next year.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, you have a good weekend, my friend. We will figure something out where we can go horse for horse in the Matriarch on Sunday. Depending on the odds, I'm probably going to bet White Beam as well at 3-1 on the morning line. Should be a fun weekend and a fun closing weekend. Don't forget mandatory payouts for all of the pools on Sunday out at Del Mar as well, because it is their closing day of the Bing Crosby season. That's going to wrap it up tonight on the Am Wager Weekend Stakes Preview. For our producer Lee Delapina, my co-host Bob Nastanovich, I'm Bobby Newman. Have a great weekend at the track, everybody.